Welcome to our Friday evening church service, and a very blessed and wonderful Sabbath to each one of you. Well, welcome to those that are on the phone and to those that will be listening to this recorded service afterwards. And God is so good to enable us to make it safely throughout this past week to where we're able to come back together again and to worship our great and marvelous God in spirit and truth, especially on this blessed and wonderful beginning of the Sabbath. So welcome, dear ones, and we praise God for you being here this evening, and we pray that tonight's meeting will bring you the blessings of God, and especially an increase in your knowledge of truth and righteousness. Our opening song is entitled Redeemed. And the link to the lyrics of the song is lightministries.com/ID1929.htm. Redeemed.
Blessed Sabbath, everyone, and everyone listening in. God bless you all. It really is a joy and I'm rejoicing to be here. Redeemed, I went up to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed through His infinite mercy, His child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. Redeemed and so happy in Jesus, no language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of His presence with me doth continually dwell. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. I think of my blessed Redeemer, I think of Him all the day long. I sing for I cannot be silent, His love is the theme of my song. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. I know there's a crown that is waiting in yonder bright mansion for me. And soon with the saints made perfect, at home with the Lord I shall be. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am.
Amen, and thank you, brother. I'll invite you to please bow your heads and kneel as far as you're able to do so as we address our God in opening prayer for tonight's meeting. Our dear precious Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for thy merciful kindness, thy tender love, thy watchful care and divine protection over each one of us this past week. We thank you, Father, for bringing us all back together again at the beginning of this wonderful Sabbath. And we pray that your presence will be in our midst, for we choose to meet here to glorify thy name. And we give you full and complete control of this meeting, and we thank you for being here. We also plead that the presence of our Savior and the Holy Spirit will be here as well. Please, Savior, bathe us in thy righteousness. Open our darkened eyes that we may behold wondrous things out of thy word. And please, Spirit, increase our ability to comprehend and understand the truth. Since we will be dealing with the important subject of the plan of salvation in tonight's reading. And thank you so much for doing so. We pray, Father, that you will continue to bring the truth to hungering and thirsting souls all around this world. Let them comprehend the truth. Let them fall in love with Jesus. And let them choose to serve him while time lasts, so that your kingdom can be swelled with precious souls and hasten your return. And Father, as Lord of the harvest, we pray that you will raise up more laborers and send them into the harvest field. For indeed, the fields are white and ripe and ready for the harvest. Ready for the precious truth of the three angels' messages, including the loud cry message of Revelation 18, to enter into these fields, to reach the hearts of the people, and to harvest them out of Babylon, out of darkness, and into the kingdom of light and righteousness. Thank you so much for being in charge of this work, and that it is going forward, and that we are one day closer to getting off of this wicked world and entering into eternity. Help us all to be ready and prepared for your soon return. And thank you for coming to get us. Thank you for hearing and answering this prayer and for being here with us now. And please, Father, let the internet work well without any problems. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. So again, welcome, dear one, to our Friday evening church service, beginning of the Sabbath for many of us, and for some that are all the way across the world, it's in the middle of their Sabbath, and we welcome you all. We're continuing to read in our study book entitled Patriarchs and Prophets, and the link to the book is lightministries.com/ID818.htm. And we're in chapter 4 entitled The Plan of Redemption, all the way down to about two-thirds of the way down the page of 68. And the paragraph begins, "But the plan of redemption had a broader and deeper purpose." So chapter 4 entitled The Plan of Redemption, page 68, about two-thirds of the way down the page. But the plan of redemption had a yet broader and deeper purpose than the salvation of man. It was not for this alone that Christ came to the earth. It was not merely that the inhabitants of this little world might regard the law of God as it should be regarded, but it was to vindicate the character of God before the universe. Remember, where did Satan rebel? He rebelled in heaven. And thus it threatened the entire universe of God, his rebellion. Heaven was the central government of the entire universe, and that's where the rebellion started. So thus the rebellion affected the entire universe of God. And when Lucifer was kicked out of heaven and this earth was created, Lucifer decided that he was going to try and bring down this particular world, this newest creation of God. And sadly, he was successful. So out of all the universe, it was only this world that chose to follow Lucifer in rebellion, but yet his rebellion affected the universe. So the plan of redemption was not just for this earth and mankind alone, but it was to vindicate the character of God before the universe. Continuing, to this result of his great sacrifice, its influence upon the intelligences of other worlds as well as upon man. The Savior looked forward when just before his crucifixion he said, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all unto me." John 12, verses 31 and 32. The act of Christ in dying for the salvation of man would not only make heaven accessible to men, but before all the universe, it would justify God and His Son in their dealing with the rebellion of Satan. It would establish the perpetuity of the law of God and would reveal the nature and the results of sin. So then the plan of redemption was not just involving this world, but it was to vindicate God before the entire universe and show them that He had been wise, He had been perfect and just in the way He dealt with Lucifer's rebellion and all of his evil angels, all of those that joined him. So in other words, if successful, there would be no doubt throughout eternity, not just among mankind, but among all the unfallen worlds, there would be no doubt that Lucifer and all of his followers deserved the punishment that they received, and that God was absolutely just, merciful, and righteous in this judgment. So there was more at stake than just the salvation of this world. But yet this world was the focus point of the plan of salvation. Continuing, from the first, the great controversy had been upon the law of God. Satan had sought to prove that God was unjust, that his law was faulty, and that the good of the universe required it to be changed. In attacking the law, he aimed to overthrow the authority of its author. In the controversy, it was to be shown whether the divine statutes were defective and subject to change, or perfect and immutable. Now, what would happen if God would have changed his law? What actually would have happened? Satan claimed it was faulty. But what would have happened if God would have agreed to change his law, even in a small area? It would have overthrown the government of God. God is perfect. He is all wise. So then for God to give us a law, this law is perfect, without the slightest flaw, because it was developed in absolute wisdom. So then if it would have been changed, then it would prove that God was not all wise as he claimed to be. It would also show that God was not perfect as he claimed to be. And if God is not perfect and all-wise, then his subjects can choose no longer to follow him because they recognize that God is not the person he claimed to be. Another reason is that God's law is a transcript of his character. And God's character is absolutely perfect, flawless. So if God would agree to change one aspect, even a slightest aspect of his law, then it would be admitting that his character was not absolutely perfect and righteous in all areas. And if God is not perfect and righteous in all areas, then there has to be a little bit of imperfection there, which would then justify Lucifer's rebellion, claiming that God was not righteous in every way. So since God is perfect, and he is all righteous, and he is all wise, God could not change even the slightest bit of his law, because it would have been denying his character. And God is not a liar. So Satan tried to prove that God was unjust and his law was faulty. In other words, God was not really God. And his claims, even though they were erroneous, affected, like seeds of weeds, affected other unfallen individuals. It affected the angels. A third of them followed Lucifer. But it also affected the other inhabitants of other worlds. Even though they didn't follow Lucifer's rebellion, it still brought a question. And that question was, is Lucifer right? Or is Lucifer lying? That's what they had to decide. And they can only make the right decision based on evidence. Lucifer claims this. Where's the evidence? They don't have it. But yet, they still have a question about it. That's what this plan of redemption is all about, dear ones. Yes, it focuses on you and me to save us from sin, to save us from death and destruction. But it also has another purpose: to provide the evidence necessary for all the intelligences of the unfallen worlds to have enough evidence to decide between God and Lucifer. And especially when Lucifer put Christ on the cross and crucified him, they had all the evidence they needed to show that God was just and righteous in his punishment against Lucifer and his followers, and that God is just and righteous in the punishment of human beings who choose to follow Lucifer by rejecting his son, Jesus Christ. They have the evidence. And ever since the death of Christ on the cross, more and more evidence has been given to them through the plan of redemption and the working out of evil through Lucifer, and the working out of God and Christ and the Holy Spirit and the heavenly angels in trying to save mankind from Lucifer and destruction. More and more evidence has been given them so that without doubt left in their mind, without the slightest question remaining, they know that Lucifer is a liar and that God and Christ are absolutely justified in all that they've done. So from the first, the great controversy had been upon the law of God. And in attacking the law, Lucifer aimed to overthrow the authority of God. And in the controversy, it was to be shown whether the divine statutes were defective and subject to change, or were perfect and immutable. And praise God, dear ones, that we have God's word written down that provides us evidence upon evidence upon evidence that God's law is perfect and immutable because it's based on Him. It's a transcript, it's a written out description of our God's character. And in obeying God's law, you are but living His character in your life. In rebelling against the law of God, you're but living the character of the author of rebellion, which is Lucifer. And plain and simple, that is the great controversy. Whether you're going to follow the law of God and in doing so live the life of God in your own life, or whether you're going to rebel against the law of God and live the character of the author of rebellion, Lucifer, in your own life. And once every single person of this earth has made that decision to serve God with all of their heart, mind, soul, and strength, or to serve Lucifer with all of their heart, mind, soul, and strength, as soon as the last person decides that, probation closes. The controversy comes to an end. Christ comes for His people and destroys all the wicked. And we go through that whole judgment scene in heaven as to why the wicked didn't make it. What was the reasons? So that there will not be left the slightest doubt in our minds as to why some of our friends and perhaps some of our relatives didn't get saved. And all of our questions will be answered based on the facts of the choices made in the lives of each and every individual that was lost, that's found recorded in their own record book. So in the end, there's no questions left in any of the minds of the inhabitants of the world, the unfallen worlds, and there's no questions left in any of the minds of the redeemed of this world. God is proven just and righteous and holy and wise in all of His ways. Sin and sinners will be no more, and God's entire universe can get over and past the 6,000 year period of rebellion and once again become perfectly righteous, holy, joyful, and peaceful for eternity. So the question is, dear one, are you making the choice to serve God and to keep His law of 10 commandments? If you are, then you're living the life of God in yourself. You're but following His transcript of character. Or are you choosing to rebel against one or more of the 10 commandments? And in doing so, showing that you're living the life of Lucifer in your own. That's a choice that only you can make. And God is giving us all the evidence that we need to make a wise decision in this matter, based upon the facts of truth. Continuing. When Satan was thrust out of heaven, he determined to make this earth his kingdom. When he tempted and overcame Adam and Eve, he thought that he had gained possession of this world, because, said he, they have chosen me as their ruler. He claimed that it was impossible that forgiveness should be granted to the sinner, and therefore the fallen race were his rightful subjects, and the world was his. But God gave His own dear Son, one equal with Himself, to bear the penalty of transgression, and thus he provided a way by which they might be restored to his favor and brought back to their Eden home. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, and hallelujah for your sacrifice. Christ undertook to redeem man and to rescue the world from the grasp of Satan. The great controversy begun in heaven was to be decided in the very world on the very same field that Satan claimed as his. It was the marvel of all the universe that Christ should humble himself to save fallen man, that he who had passed from star to star, from world to world, superintending all by his providence, supplying the needs of every order of being in his vast creation, that he should consent to leave his glory and take upon himself human nature was a mystery which the sinless intelligences of other worlds desired to understand. So none, I can't say none, but a lot of the intelligences of other worlds, these unfallen, intelligent beings of God's creation, did not understand why the Lord God Michael, the one that superintended all of God's creation and had gone from star to star, from world to world, from universe to universe, and was upholding it all by the very aspect of his Godhood, should consent to leave all of this glory and become born into human nature as Jesus Christ. It was a mystery, but it intrigued them. They wanted to know more about it. And it should have the same effect upon you and me. It should intrigue us as well. Why would God, our Creator, want to come down and be born one of His creation? Why would He want to humiliate Himself and be born as one of His creation? It should also lead us to desire to understand why. And the answer is because He loved us. He loves you. And that's why He was willing to do it. He didn't have to. The Father asked Him to, but didn't command Him to. Christ voluntarily chose to do so out of love. So the unfallen intelligences of other worlds desires to understand this mystery of the plan of redemption. And we should also desire to understand it. And that is one reason why the sanctuary was brought about in the first place, to teach more clearly the plan of salvation. And I hope as we've gone through it here for these past Sabbaths, that you have seen it more clearly than you have ever done before, so that you can realize more clearly the immense and infinite love given for you and me, and thus can fall more in love with our God and Savior. It's just marvelous, dear ones. And it is well worth the time to investigate and understand. continuing, when Christ came to our world in the form of humanity, all were intensely interested in following him as he traversed step by step the blood-stained path from the manger to Calvary. This is talking about the unfallen worlds now. All were intensely interested in following Christ as he traversed from infancy into childhood, from childhood into youth, from youth into adulthood, step by step all along the way until Calvary. Continuing, heaven marked the insult and mockery that he received and knew that it was at Satan's instigation. They clearly saw what was taking place, which means they could see what takes place behind the scenes. And I imagine they can see everything that Lucifer is doing and all of his evil angels are doing, and everything that God is doing and all of his heavenly angels are doing in this controversy on this earth. So they knew that Christ was being insulted and mocked all throughout his life at the instigation of Satan. Continuing, they marked the work of the counter-agencies going forward, Satan constantly pressing darkness, sorrow, and suffering upon the race, and Christ counteracting it. They watched the battle between light and darkness as it waxed stronger. And as Christ in his expiring agony upon the cross cried out, "It is finished," which is John 19, verse 30, a shout of triumph rang through every world and through heaven itself. Do they have any questions remaining as to who was telling the truth in this controversy? No. They clearly saw through 4,000 years of the controversy taking place on this earth exactly who was at fault and who was vindicated as being righteous and holy and true and just. And when Christ died on the cross and he said, "It is finished," all of the inhabitants of these unfallen worlds, including all the inhabitants of heaven, gave a shout of triumph, recognizing that God was just and that Christ provided a way of freedom from Lucifer's tyrannical rule and his deceptions and his lies. Mankind was given that second chance. They could be saved by accepting Jesus Christ as their Savior and no longer choosing Lucifer as their leader. All questions had been answered by them. Not a slightest doubt remained. Now it just was left for the inhabitants of this earth to make up their mind, to have their questions answered, so that the controversy can end. It already ended for all the other worlds when Christ died on the cross. It's just now left up to the inhabitants of this world to make up their minds so the controversy can end here. And praise God and Christ and the Holy Spirit for not leaving us alone but continuing to work with each one of us to lead and guide us into truth, to have our questions answered, so that there won't be the slightest doubt remaining in our mind on this issue of God's character and His law. So when Christ cried out on the cross, "It is finished," a shout of triumph rang through every world and through heaven itself. Continuing, the great contest that had been so long in progress in this world was now decided, and Christ was conqueror. His death had answered the question whether the Father and the Son had sufficient love for man to exercise self-denial and a spirit of sacrifice. Satan had revealed his true character as a liar and a murderer. It was seen that the very same spirit with which he had ruled the children of men who were under his power, he would have manifested if permitted to control the intelligences of heaven. With one voice, the loyal universe united in extolling the divine administration. So this great controversy was over for them at the death of Christ. They clearly saw everything that was taking place, and they realized that God was just in expelling Lucifer and his followers from heaven, because if he hadn't have done so, then Lucifer's way of ruling would have spread across the universe and ruined it. They had no more questions. They were all answered. It's just left for you and me now to decide. Are there any thoughts or comments before we continue on, dear ones? Continuing, last paragraph, middle of page 70. If the law could be changed, man might have been saved without the sacrifice of Christ. But the fact that it was necessary for Christ to give his life for the fallen race proves that the law of God will not release the sinner from its claims upon him. It is demonstrated that the wages of sin is death. When Christ died, the destruction of Satan was made certain. But if the law was abolished at the cross, as many claim, then the agony and death of God's dear Son were endured only to give to Satan just what he asked. Then the prince of evil triumphed, his charges against the divine government were sustained. The very fact that Christ bore the penalty of man's transgression is a mighty argument to all created intelligences that the law is changeless, that God is righteous, merciful, and self-denying, and that infinite justice and mercy unite in the administration of His government. So if the law could have been changed, then Christ did not have to die for the breaking of the law. But because he did die, gave his life as a sacrifice to redeem you and me from the penalty of the law for transgressing it, proves that the law cannot be changed. It is an argument proving that to break God's law is to suffer the penalty of death. and that Christ gave his life to free you and me from having to suffer that death so that we could then choose to come back into harmony and obedience to God by keeping his law. Those who say that the law was abolished on the cross are actually claiming that Christ did not have to die, that then he's not really our Savior because the law was abolished. He's not really our Savior from sin because the law could be changed. And if it could be changed, then there is no sin. And if there is no sin, we don't need a Savior. But because Christ did die as our Savior, proves that the law could not be changed, that it was not done away with at the cross. And thus there is a way provided for you to be freed from the curse of the law, which is death, to have everlasting life through Christ and his righteousness. So the cross is the central point of this controversy. It proves that the law could not have been changed, that it has not been abolished, because Christ died to save you from your sins, which means the law is still in effect. People are still breaking God's law today. People are still sinning against God's law. But Christ is there to free us from the condemnation of the law. Give us the grace and the strength to keep the law, having all of our sins forgiven through his precious blood, so that we can come back to being the sons and daughters of the Almighty, and no longer the children of the wicked one. And it all is your choice to make. And praise God for that choice. Lucifer wanted to keep us under his thumb of control without any possible freedom. But Christ died on the cross to save you from that type of tyrannical rulership, and to give you a freedom to choose who you were going to follow and obey. And we have God's word to give us all the evidence that we need as to who we should choose to follow and obey. And then the Spirit gives us all the grace that we need to act upon our choice in serving God, because he first loved us, and we should love him as well. I mean, how can you not love someone who dies for you when you're his enemy? Would you do that for your enemy? Would you actually go out and pay his penalty by taking his death on you to free him to live? And if you did, what would that say to your enemy? Wow, I would never do something like that. But because he did it for me, he must really love me. If he loved himself, he wouldn't do that. But he must have loved me enough to do it and take my place. Well, I'm no longer his enemy. I now love the man. That should be our response only a million times more with Jesus. He's your and my creator. And he chose to come down and become one of his creation to save us. That is an infinite love. That's beyond a mortal love. That's infinite. So he's not my enemy. He died for me, and I love him. And I want to prove my love to him by obeying him and no longer obeying such a hard taskmaster of Lucifer as he is. He didn't die for me. He hasn't shown love for me at all. He's only brought me misery and pain and suffering. Why would I love him? Why would I choose to serve him? These are questions that we need to come to terms with, dear ones. Who do you love more? Someone who's trying to destroy you or someone who's trying to save you? That's what we need to decide. Are there any thoughts or comments before we go to the next chapter, dear one?
Yes, dear brother. It is amazing that even today, through all that was brought up in this study and beautiful points that were more fleshed out by God for you in these comments that were being made in reference to what was being studied, it comes to my mind the magnitude of such a scoffing and rebellious spirit that we see in the world today. And I don't believe that that is going to decrease anytime soon. I believe, if anything, it is going to be an increase. I praise the living God, though, that there is this little verse that really shines bright for me, and that really helps me also to see even more, because it's going to take us, my understanding, it's going to take an eternity to truly comprehend the magnitude of the love of God towards us. It cannot be done in this short little span of life that we have. It's going to take forever. However, this one tiny little verse really kind of touches my heart when the Lord was saying in the Word, where sin abound, grace did much more abound. And I look at that quite hopefully towards those even who are scoffing and who are, you know, in the throes of rebellion, that in these last days of this world, the Lord in his mercy and in his grace and his abundant love is going to pour out such power in the Holy Spirit to reach as many as he possibly can in the last dying hours of this world. And the harvest, from my understanding, is actually going to be plentiful, because those that come out of it, according to what Scripture has said, they're going to be an innumerable company that comes out of this great tribulation that we're going to go through, Jacob's trouble. So I grab hold of these little nuggets, and in one part of my heart I'm grieved and I sorrow, because I see so much that's going on and so many souls that are lost and really in such great bondage to so much sin. And it's, oh my lands, it's really a satanic bondage to such a degree they can't even see that they're in it. But I praise the living God that as the Holy Spirit just truly is being poured out through his children and bringing this word to the people, and it is the Lord who is going before his children. We are not running before the Lord. He is going before us. He is bringing the battle to the gate. And as that is done, those who truly in their heart, and the Lord knows those who are his, and he gives that certain sound, and we are giving that very certain sound, they're going to respond and wake up and hear the call and come out. And they're going to be able to plead, even like that demoniac from Gadarenes. That poor soul was in deep bondage. Yet I believe very clearly that soul there cried out from within in the bondage and found deliverance, because God saw that soul wanted deliverance. That man wanted to be delivered. There are those that are going to be lost because they chose to be lost. And all who have that understanding are going to be lost for that same reason. They're choosing evil. But I praise the living God that the word is going to be so abundant. The grace is going to be so abundant. Where sin abound, grace did much more abound. And he's going to truly pour it out. But unfortunately, there are going to be many who are going to choose destruction. Lucifer had many, many, many chances by God's grace before he was kicked out to repent. He had chances to repent. The Lord God Michael himself even counseled him. He had all kinds of time to be counseled with, and he rejected it. Just like many today will reject good counsel and harden their hearts against the Holy Spirit, pricking at their hearts and telling them, hey, what you're in is sin and bondage, and the wages of sin is death, and the soul that sinneth, it shall die. What do you want to do, to live or to die? And that's what it is that, you know, I still praise God that that one little verse there really brings my heart some hope that many will be saved, but an abundant amount will be lost. But at least we're going to have that chance by God's grace if we should be, you know, alive for as many, you know, years or the whatever time it takes for the Lord to come and for this whole chapter to close, that we will see many come out of this.
Amen, dear brother. I would like to go back to the part where you said that when Christ had actually said it was finished and a shout of triumph ran through every world. As you made the statement, as you were reading, this is just a question. Salvation wasn't not only open to us, but doesn't it also stop Satan and his trap to even going further to the rest of the other world? That through that it is finished, praise God that he didn't have to go no further than this world, and the other world was actually spared from his great, great deceitful deception against the government of God?
That's true, sister. I mean, the other worlds didn't need salvation because they never gave in to Lucifer. But in an indirect way, by them being able to watch the outcome of this battle on this earth between Lucifer and Christ, they saw that if they had chosen to follow Lucifer in rebellion, that they would have made a great blunder, just like this world had made. So I guess in an indirect way, the plan of salvation saved them from making that choice in the future. Not that they needed to be saved from death, but it saved them from making that decision in the future. So I guess in an indirect way, it's true. It was the plan of salvation from death for this world, and it was indirectly the plan of salvation for all the rest of the unfallen worlds not making that choice to serve Lucifer. They had all the evidence that they need as to who they should follow, and that's God. So it removed from them any possible question or doubt as to who they should follow. And that, in a way, is saving them from future destruction by choosing the wrong path. So, you know, but the plan of salvation was strictly for this world in saving us from death and from Lucifer. And in an indirect way, it benefited the rest of the unfallen universe by allowing them to clearly see that God is true and the devil is a liar. So God, is all wise. What he chooses to do has extreme significance. And it was not just for this world that the plan of salvation was geared to help, but also the rest of the unfallen universe. And I know that Lucifer didn't realize what was taking place. His only focus was on himself. His focus was to try and become as deceptive as possible to gain as many adherents, as many followers as he could on his side before he came out in direct rebellion against God. That was his whole purpose. He didn't recognize that God knew all about it. God had prepared for this possibility, and God knew exactly what to do, at what time to do it, in order to defeat the devil. And God is still all wise. He hasn't changed. And if we can just connect ourselves with Him and walk with God so closely, then we would be able to have some of that wisdom to recognize what we should do at all times, under any circumstances, to defeat the best laid plots and snares and traps of the wicked one. But many times we don't have that wisdom. We're not as close to God as we should be in our walk. And we fall into pits and traps and snares that the devil has laid to catch us in. But even if we fall 7 times, God is there to help raise us back up. His ear is open to our prayers in asking Him to forgive us. And He cleanses us from all unrighteousness and gives us the grace and the strength to get up and go forward. And praise His holy name for being such a marvelous God as He is. We don't deserve a single bit of His love, but yet He's given it for each one of us. And I'm choosing to live in it, to let it fill me to such an extent that there is no more of self to be seen, only love for God and others of His creation. And God help me to live that life. Are there any thoughts or comments or testimonies or songs that you would like to sing, dear one? We got down to the end of chapter 4, and next time we will start at the beginning of chapter 5, which would be page 71. So God is so merciful, dear ones, and Brother Joel is correct. Throughout eternity, it will be an immense pleasure and a joy to study more into this plan of salvation and to find out more of the love of God manifested for you and me. And throughout eternity, this will be our joy to search and to study into, and to visit the other unfallen worlds, and to question their inhabitants as to what they saw taking place, and to have them explain to us what they saw, and to explore more into that and discover more gems and jewels of the love of God for us. I mean, they saw everything that was taking place behind the scenes. We only have a very limited understanding of what is taking place within our limited view. And there's going to be so much more to discover, and so much more joy in investigating, and so much more insights into God's love, and thus so much more ability to love God more and more each time we discover a new facet of His love. And it's never going to end. There's not going to be a stopping point for our love growing for God. I mean, I can't imagine that. Loving God more and more as each day of eternity rolls on? That's just going to be truly amazing. And to have the capacity to have an abundant more joy and happiness because you love God more. I mean, I've been so happy on this earth at certain times that it's hard for me to catch my breath. What is it going to be like in heaven? We're not going to have mortal bodies. We're going to be immortal as long as we continue to eat from the tree of life, which we will. We're going to have perfectly balanced, harmoniously working bodies and minds. We're not just going to be using 1-3% of our mental capacity. We're going to be using 100%. Our capacity for learning and appreciating and growing is going to be without limits. Truly, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor the highest thought imagined, what God has prepared for those who love Him. It is truly going to be amazing.
I would just like to share a hymn. I serve a risen Savior, He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy, I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. In all the world around me, I see His loving care. And though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that He is leading through all the stormy blasts. The day of His appearing will come at last. He lives, He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King, the hope of all who seek Him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me, and He talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart.
Just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What a rejoicing, what we can look forward to by God's grace if we can remain faithful and stay prayed up and keep our hands in His hands, to be able to, and this is my prayer, give Him a hug and say, thank you, Lord, for saving me. Praise the Lord. What a rejoicing. Praise the Lord.
I have to share that I find that it is truly overwhelming. It really is, to stop, and we really need to do this more often. I know I do. And just think on the immensity of God's love for us individually. I mean, we can stop and think about the love of God for all of mankind, we can. But when we really sit still for a minute and just try and allow the Holy Spirit to cause us to drink in the immensity of God's love for us individually, and how much was poured out for us individually that we might be saved to be with Him because He loves us. So much gets washed away with that love. I don't know where to put myself so many times when I stop and think of the love of the Father and the love of our Lord God Jesus and the love of the Holy Spirit in my life. I don't know where to even put myself. I shudder and I rejoice at the same time. I want to flee and cling at the same time, because I know the wretchedness of me, but I want that love. I want that love. I don't know if it makes sense, but that's what it's like for me. It's an unbelievable kind of love. It's so strong and so deep and so broad and so wide. It's so saturating. It's so uplifting, so healing. I want that love. And yet when I look into His face and I see, oh my lands, the wretch of me, and You love me, I want to run and I want to hold on at the same time. I praise God, I do, that He loves me. It's so important that we take that time and dare, really dare, to push in deeper and deeper in our private time with the Lord to get to know more of that love. Because I truly believe, when we are immersing ourselves in the love of Jesus Christ, and we're allowing the Holy Spirit to truly swallow us up in it, all these things of flesh that are getting in our way from being even more intimately connected with the Lord, they're not worth holding on to anymore. They just fall to the side. What are we holding on to? What is it? Look at Jesus. Let's keep our eyes on Him and just, oh my lands, the love of God. There's just nothing that this world or my petty flesh could offer me to want me to stay so earthbound when the Lord is saying, come up a little higher. I don't want to stay earthbound. I don't want to be earthy. No, I want to be heavenly minded so I can be heavenly bound. Jesus loves. The Father loves. The Holy Spirit loves because they are love. It is we who have to learn that. And oh, what a rejoicing to spend time. Just, I don't know how to say it. But when I know the Lord is grabbing a hold of me and I'm giving him that time because it's up to me to give him that time. He is always ready to receive us. He is never not ready to receive us. We have to be willing and ready to go to him. If we have sinned, confess those sins. Make that determined effort in our hearts to repent completely. And he is ready and willing to receive us. And with open arms. That's the kind of love he has for us. I rejoice in that. It is a mind-blowing kind of love. One that truly should always have us rejoicing, even when it is kind of rough out here. Our dear brother Rob, you were talking about, yeah, I've had joyous times too, and some that really weren't so nice and joyous. But overall, I have to say, wow, praise God. Praise God indeed. Even in the midst of many harsh times I've gone through, he put a song in my heart. In the midst of it all, he had me rejoicing. And I know that just makes the devil very angry. And the fallen angels flee. So praise God and praise him even more.
I had a song come to mind today as I was cruising down the highway. Elaine read me the little bit of the history behind it, and it brought tears to my eyes, so I'm not going to reread that because I can't sing and tear at the same time. There's within my heart a melody, Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee, peace be still. In all of life's ebb and flow, Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. All my life was wrecked by sin and strife. Discord filled my heart with pain. Jesus wept across the broken strings, stirred the slumbering chord again. Feasting on the riches of his grace, resting neath his sheltering wings, always looking on his smiling face. That is why I shout and sing, Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Though sometimes he leads through waters deep, trials fall across the way. Though sometimes the path seems rough and steep, see his footprints all the way. Soon he's coming back to welcome me, far beyond the starry sky. I shall wing my flight to worlds unknown, I shall reign with him on high. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go.
The The composer of these words was Luther B. Bridgers. And when I looked it up on the internet today, this man was an Episcopal preacher, minister, and he traveled a lot. And this is in the late 1800s, early 1900s. And one day when he was away preaching, his wife and his three boys went to visit some friends. And the night that they were there, their house burned down. His wife and three sons were up on the second floor and couldn't get down. And he lost his wife and three boys. And he says his only solace was in praising the Lord. And I'd never heard that story before. I probably left out some details to it. But it made me realize that this song came from the depths of his heart through all the pain, and yet he could still praise the Lord.
Amen, and thank you for sharing that. And to be able to praise the Lord in such times of terrible sorrow and loss is really leaning on Him and allowing Him to bear you up. And He is very able to do so. And He has manifested it many times in the past and will continue to do so. He's definitely our burden bearer. And praise Him again for it.
Hello, this is Sally. I guess I'll sing a song. It goes like this. Hallelujah, salvation and glory. On that power to the Lord, O God. Hallelujah, salvation and glory. On that power to the Lord, O God. For the Lord our God is mighty. Yes, the Lord our God is magnificent. The Lord our God. He is wonderful. For the Lord our God is mighty. Yes, the Lord our God is omnipotent. The Lord our God, He is wonderful. Our praises be to the kings of kings and no more. Our God, He is wonderful. Our praises be to the King of kings and no more. Our God, He is wonderful. Hallelujah, salvation and glory. On and power to the Lord our God. Hallelujah, salvation and glory. On and power. Amen.
There is a song that I would like to sing tonight in praise of the Lord. It's called Whiter Than Snow. And it starts out, Lord Jesus, I long to be perfectly whole. I want Thee forever to ransom my soul. Break down every idol, cast out every foe. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Whiter than snow, yes, whiter than snow. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Lord Jesus, for this I most humbly entreat. I wait, blessed Lord, at Thy crucified feet. By faith for my cleansing I see Thy blood flow. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow.
Whiter than snow, yes, whiter than snow. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Lord Jesus, thou knowest I patiently wait. Come now and within me a new heart create. To those who have sought thee, thou never saidst no. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Whiter than snow, yes, whiter than snow. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Amen.
Amen. What a beautiful voice, dear brother. Beautiful song. I was requested to sing a little hymn called Draw Me Near. And I pray I don't get mucked up. My internet's been kind of iffy lately. But dear sister is kind enough to put the words here for me. I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Oh, the pure delight of a single hour that before thy throne I spend. When I kneel in prayer and with thee, my God, I commune as friend with friend. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. There are depths of love that I cannot know till I cross the narrow sea. There are heights of joy that I may not reach till I rest in peace with thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Praise the Lord. Amen. That is my prayer as well.
Amen, dear sister. I have one more that I would like to sing, if you guys don't mind. It is one that I am familiar with. I believe you guys are too. It is called Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. And it starts out like this. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above. Filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Praise God. That was beautiful too. I love all this praise worship time that we're having and the beautiful songs being sung. What a rejoicing. We're going to try something too, the two of us here. So this one we like to, In My Heart There Rings a Melody.
I have a song that Jesus gave me. It was sent from heaven above. There never was a sweeter melody. It's the melody of love.
In my heart there rings a melody. There rings a melody with heaven's harmony. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody of love.
'Twill be in my endless fame and glory, with the angels I will sing. 'Twill be a song with glorious harmony, when the courts of heaven ring.
In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody with heaven's harmony. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody of love.
In my heart there
rings a melody, there rings a melody with heaven's harmony. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody of love.
What a true blessing. I'd like to sing the hymn 309. I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily live. I surrender, oh, I surrender, I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all to Jesus, I surrender humbly at His feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me Jesus, take me now. I surrender all, I surrender, I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all to Jesus, I surrender. Make me Savior, wholly Thine. Let me feel the Holy Spirit, truly know that Thou art mine. I surrender, oh, I surrender, I surrender, oh, oh, to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender. Now I feel the sacred flame. All the joy of whose salvation, glory, glory to His name. I surrender, oh, I surrender, I surrender, oh, oh, to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender. Amen.
Let's just have again. There's a song I wanted to sing. It's in my heart. It goes like this. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to have. Everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we offer. Oh, what fear. Oh, what needless pain. All because we do not have everything to God in prayer. Have we trials or temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrow share? Jesus knows our every mess. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and happy men? With the load of care, precious Savior still around you. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do your friends despise for sin? Thank you. Take it to the Lord in prayer. In His arms He'll hear, take and cheer. You will find a silence there. Blessed Savior, Thou hast promised Thou wilt all our burdens bear. May we ever, Lord, be free. Free all to Thee in earnest prayer. Soon in glory bright and cloud out there, there will be no need for prayer. A fresh, present, endless worship will be our sweet portions there. Amen.
I have one more to sing here. It's a song called 'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus. I love this song. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust His cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me neath the healing cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease. Just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust Him, Precious Jesus, Savior, friend, and I know that He is with me, will be with me till the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more.
Yeah, I'd like to say something to the nation. I have a problem with my laptop, and I've been trying to give praise to all of the brothers and sisters that sang or had a statement, but I just couldn't get it to work. So I say, well, I got to see Brother Joel for assistance. And now my daughter came in and she touched one of the buttons, and I see the monitor working. So this is when I began to have something to say. Rejoicefully, this is my first time to be partaking such a wonderful, wonderful Sabbath and sharing the communion of each and every one of you. I need a little bit of time, and I pray the Lord would give me deliverance and wisdom to get into the fold of the whole community of the Lord. And one of the other things that I have is that I usually have worship in Spanish, so I gotta get accustomed once again back to my native tongue. So I'm asking all of you to bear with me, and it's really an anointed moment to share with each and every one of you. And I can feel the presence of the Lord every time I hear someone say something or someone sing a tune. And it's so wonderful to be a part of it. I thank you all for giving me this moment. God bless.
I've been listening also, and I want to sing a song tonight, and it goes, if any man come after me and deny himself, pick up your cross and follow me, and to life eternally. Deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow Jesus. He is the way to my soul. If any man come after me and deny himself, pick up your cross and follow me, and to life eternally, pick up yourself, pick up your cross and follow Jesus. He is the way to the soul. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
My faith is strong. It will stand while the storm is raging. No winds can bring me down. My faith is sure. It will stand while I waver. I lean on the Lord, my Savior, and He. Then I think He will show the way. Faith can move a mountain, climb a mountain too. Everything the Lord wants I'll do. My faith will stay. It will stand a path unguided. Darkness is not ours, but light is. And with faith, I will forevermore.
There's one more song that I'd like to sing before I go, if you guys don't mind. It is called We're Marching to Zion. I do love this one as well. Come we that love the Lord, and let our joys be known. Join in a song with sweet accord. Join in a song with sweet accord. And thus around the throne, and thus around the throne, we're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. Let those refuse to sing who never knew our God, but children of the heavenly King, but children of the heavenly King, may speak their joys abroad, may speak their joys abroad. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. The hill of Zion yields a thousand sacred sweets. Before we reach the heavenly fields, before we reach the heavenly fields, or walk the golden streets, or walk the golden streets. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. Then let our songs abound and every tear be dry. We're marching through Emmanuel's ground. We're marching through Emmanuel's ground to fairer worlds on high, to fairer worlds on high. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. Amen.
Amen. It is really beautiful to hear all of these songs of praises being sung to the Lord from so many people. This is wonderful. And definitely the Lord is in this place and united with us. Are there any other songs or any other testimonies or questions or comments that you might have, dear ones? Before we close, please go right ahead.
Okay, this is one song. It goes like this.
The Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord is on His heavenly. We give our praises unto Jesus. For all that He has shown, we see the beauty of His power. We hear
Amen. Beautiful. And it just reminds me of what I hear my dear sister, she would sing, there's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place, and I know that it's the Spirit of the Lord. Sweet Holy Spirit, sweet Heavenly Dove, stay right here with us, filling us with your love. And for these blessings, we lift our hearts in praise. Without a doubt, we'll know that we have been revived when we shall leave this gathering place. There are sweet expressions on each face, and I know they feel the presence of the Lord. We are all united together through His grace, and it's all through the Spirit of the Lord. Sweet Holy Spirit, sweet Heavenly Dove, stay right here with us, filling us with your love. And for these blessings, we lift our hearts in praise. Without a doubt, we'll know that we have been revived when we shall leave this gathering place. That's for you, Sister Rose. I love you.
Amen, and thank you, Sister. Well, dear ones, we greatly appreciate you coming out this evening. We appreciate you being here, Brother Rodolfo, and we hope to have you fellowshipping with us again soon. And may God go with each one, and may His blessings rest upon you and give you peace until we meet again. God bless.
Okay, thank you, Brother Bob, and it's been wonderful. I feel so filled with everything that has taken place tonight, and I want to say blessed to all the family, all the nation, and I bid them they have a safe voyage back home. Until tomorrow.